Lord, we just thank you that you're here. That you're here, that you're here. Thank you for your glory, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that in the Old Testament you dwelt in temples made with hands, but in the New Testament you dwell in us. And we thank you, God, that the glory is in us. You sent your Son for the main purpose of dying and being resurrected, living in us. Lord, we thank you that we're seated with you in heavenly places. Lord, I just pray this atmosphere right now, Lord, that there's healing in this atmosphere. There's healing in your presence. There's goodness in your presence. There's power in your presence. I thank you that even now that you're moving throughout the room, meeting each individual need, you're so specific, Lord. You're so detailed. You're so good at coming into those places, Lord, where we need you the most. And we just welcome the King of Kings in this house right now. Can you just lift your hands right now? Lord, we just thank you for your glory in this house right now. We thank you for that thick, heavy, weighty glory. Lord, we thank you that in your glory, every need is met. Every body is healed. In this atmosphere right now, this heavenly atmosphere, this heavenly atmosphere, this heavenly atmosphere. There's a heavenly atmosphere in the house right now. God's glory is in the house right now, and there's a heavenly thickness of his glory. And we open up our eyes to the reality that we are not separated from you. We open up our eyes to the reality that those that have called on your name, you've come to live on the inside of them. We thank you for your hands, Father, that your hands are not shortened. They're mighty to save. Through the hands. I want to start off by reading a paragraph from a book called Laying the Foundations by James Lee Beale. And this is what it says. It says, throughout Scripture, the hands are considered to be deeply significant. It is the extension of the person himself. It is his power to labor with skill and his ability to fight against enemies. It is in his hands that a man carries gifts to give to others and bring sacrifices to God. It is the hand that is joined with another's to forge a friendship. The hand lifted up in an oath is important in creating a covenant. God speaks of his act of power in the earth as his hands. Whenever God intervened mightily in the affairs of men, they sang his praise in terms of what his hands had done. In Exodus 15:6, it says, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. More important than all, the hand is the vehicle of blessing. We lift our hands in worship and praise to bless God, and we extend our hands and lay hands upon others to communicate the blessing of God as human channels, conduits, for the Holy Spirit to move through. Listen to what Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 says. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So the teaching concerning this idea of the laying on of hands, God moving through your hands as a foundational stone. It was so important that it was mentioned alongside of repentance from dead works, baptism, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment as an elementary principle of the faith. Laying on of the hands. The idea that the God that made the universe has moved into your temple and now desires to move through you with his presence to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring blessing. The idea that the God who made everything has come to live on the inside of us and move through our hands. You think about it. Think about it. Him living on the inside of you and moving through you to heal, to deliver, to set people free with your hands. We wake up every day and we know we got hands. This God wants to move through us. And this is what it says in Mark 16. It says, and he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs follow those who believe. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, and it won't hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And it says, they will recover. He says, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's not even a question. He says, they will. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. The Lord working with them. Isn't it interesting that right after Jesus says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, that he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God in heavenly places? We've been hearing this message of this idea that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Isn't it interesting that after he says they will lay hands on the sick and see them recover, it says he was received up into heavenly places, and then he invites us to go up into heavenly places with him. That the same Jesus that walked the earth has now come on the inside of you. You're seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the power, at the right hand of the Father. And he says, now use your hands. Use your hands. Use your hands, use your hands. The Lord working with them. He will always have the preeminence. He will always be number one. He will always be the Alpha. So he says, I'm going to move through your weakness. I'm going to move through your brokenness so that everybody's going to know that the power has come from me. Power has come from me. Well, I feel weak. You're in the perfect place. Well, I feel broken. You're in the perfect place. I feel poor in spirit. You're in the perfect place. You're in the perfect place. Now he has given you and I the same honor of being seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Can you picture this? Can you picture it? He has given you and I the same honor of being seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. He wants to move through our hands and release power. He wants us to understand that being seated with him at the right hand of the Father means we are operating out of a place of power that Jesus created through his death and resurrection. He's literally provided us a space to operate out of heaven with him. With him. Man. Acts 5, starting at verse 12, it says, and this is where this jumped off the page at me. Again, another scripture that we've read over and over. And through the hands. And that through the hands jumped out at me. Through the hands. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Can I tell you, the same Holy Spirit that was in Peter is in you? He has not given you a watered-down version of the Holy Spirit. He has not given you 10% or 50 or 75%. Can you imagine him thinking like that? Oh, I'm going to give Peter 50% of my spirit. I'm going to give these people 20. 100%. He has given us 100% of His Spirit to operate. Just like they did. Can you imagine? Bring people, picture this. People bringing sick people out onto the streets and laying them in beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. It says, through the hands. The same Holy Spirit that moved through the hands of Jesus was now moving through the disciples' hands, and God wants us to know that the same Holy Spirit that moved through the disciples' hands wants to move through our hands. Then on a whole nother level, there they were laying people on beds and couches so at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. The shadow of Peter was the presence of Jesus. It wasn't the presence of Peter. That's why he will always have the preeminence. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Well, I'm only 10 years old. Do not underestimate what God can do through you. Well, I'm 80. Don't underestimate. He was making this very evident to me. Do not underestimate the presence of God that is on the inside of you. Well, that was for them. Really? We need Him more now. Through the hands. You know what the word shadow means? It means the express image and the very likeness. See, again, this is where we get into some trouble. Because you're going to hear people say, oh, wait a minute. Listen, Jesus died on a cross, a gruesome death, was buried in a resurrection power so that we can live the life that He lived. He said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. But we start to use this deductive reasoning. Well, I don't know about all that. He's like, know about it. Know that I have come into you with my fullness. Know it. He's 100% God. The express image, the very likeness. The might fall on some is to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. I don't know if you remember when Peter, James, and John go up onto that mountain and Jesus decides to unzip himself out of his earth suit, out of his skin. And it literally says the light is so brilliant that they couldn't even look at him. It was like the sun shining in all of its strength. And this says, might fall on some and envelop in a haze of brilliancy. Effortlessness. All we've done is we've said yes to Jesus. It's not by human effort. It's not by our means. It's not because of something we did or something that who we are. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you everything. In fact, He says, you are a joint heir with me. Everything that I have, you have. He says, so stop living in spiritual poverty and start living in the riches of my grace. The riches of my grace. And just when you think you had enough, He'll pour more out. And just when you think you had enough, He'll pour more out. And He'll pour more out because He is the everlasting fountain of life. He does not run dry. This world runs dry, but this God does not run dry. He just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing, and He keeps flowing, and He keeps flowing, and He keeps flowing. And He will never stop flowing. We're just going to ride this wave right into glory. We're going to ride this wave right into heaven. We're going to ride all this. I have no idea how much time we have left. I'm not talking about this today. I'm talking about time. Develop in a haze of brilliancy. Well, not little old me. It's not little old you. It's big old Jesus on the inside of you. And then, if Jesus moving through Peter's shadow wasn't enough, It says in Acts 19, verse 11. Hold on. We gotta get one of these glory drops. Anyway. Acts 19, verse 11 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them." Handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from Paul's body and given to the sick, and they were healed from their diseases, and evil spirits went out of them. This is the effortlessness of resurrection power, the presence of Jesus on and through Paul. The problem is we get in our way, in his way. These brains of ours start this deductive reasoning and rationalization and logic. But he says, if you will get rid of all that and you come to me with childlike faith, aprons off your body will be sent to people and they will heal somebody. Your shadow passing by a sick person will heal somebody. It's the effortlessness of resurrection power. In fact, it's so effortless, that when Jesus was resurrected, it says that dead bodies came up out of the grave, and they came up and they burst forth through the dirt. Wherever they were, coffins, whatever it was, they came up and they were walking throughout the city. The effortlessness of resurrection power. When the resurrection power comes and the glory comes, there is that effortlessness. Better soak it in. Soak in this glory. Resurrection power. Listen to Ephesians 3 and verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." God, we thank you right now for the riches of your glory that you're pouring out in this house. You're pouring out diamonds and rubies and gold. We thank you for the riches of your glory. We have a distaste for the world, but we have a hunger for heaven. We are so hungry, God. We are so hungry for you to move in us. We are so hungry. We are so hungry. Do you know you were designed to get bored with the world? Do you know what's crazy about that is? When I was 16 years old, I had some stuff happen to me, and I got real depressed, and I got tired of the world, and I got sent to a doctor to be put on medication. If I would have had a mentor at that point, they would have said, "Listen, son, you're sick of the world. You're wide open for Jesus right now." Isn't it interesting how the pharmaceutical industry is set up to somehow cure or put a band-aid on all this stuff, when God is saying, "Do you understand that it's me making the world dim to you? Do you understand that I'm trying to make open your eyes to heaven?" But we have these systems and these solutions and things that are just, they're fixed. They're not real fixes. Jesus is the one that can put you back in your right mind. I know some of these medications and things bridge the gap for people. Maybe there are situations where people have to be on for long term. But I'm fully convinced that Jesus wants to put everybody back in their right mind. Jesus, we need you right now. Can you put your hands up right now? With Jesus, we need you to move through us. We need you to move in us. We ask for healing power right now. We ask for resurrection power right now to come into bodies, to come into minds, to everything be put straight in the name of Jesus. We're saying these things in the name of Jesus. 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 Spirit of God, that you'd move throughout this house in the name of Jesus. Through each body in the name of Jesus, through each mind in the name of Jesus, that we need you, Father, now more than we have ever needed you before. We need you now. We need you now. We need you now. More of you, less of us. more of you and less of us. That is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that he's made available for us to experience wholeness. Are you in here today and you feel so fragmented? He's here to make you whole. He's a father that loves you. It is love that makes you whole. It is love, and he loves you so, so much. Jesus loves you so, so much. The Father loves you so, so much. Can you just soak in his love right now? Just put your hands in there. Just soak in his love right now. And just thank you, Jesus, that when you took those nails through your feet and those nails through your hands and that crown of thorns that was pushed down on your head and that spear that was set in your side and how you were beat, it was because of me. It was because of your love for me. And you took the sin of the world up onto that cross. It says you became a curse. You became sin and nailed it to that cross. And then you took it and you said, it is finished. And then you were resurrected into heaven with your blood once and for all. Once and for all. He doesn't have to go back over and over. He took his blood into heaven, in the heavenly of heavenlies, once and for all. And he has overcome sin, death, and the grave. Riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart. Listen, the anointed one may dwell in you, your heart, through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or know with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. This love of Jesus Christ is so big, the width and length and depth and height, we can't even imagine how much he loves us. We can't imagine how much he loves us. He says, perfect love will cast out all fear. Are you fearful in here today? He says, my perfect love will cast out all fear. And if that wasn't enough, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all 50% of God. That you may be filled with 100%. That you would be filled with the fullness of God. And then our natural brain goes tilt and it says it's too much. You do not know what I've done. You do not know what I think about it. You do not know my struggle. You do not know that I woke up this morning and I didn't want to live anymore. You don't know. He does. And this Bible says that he will come in with his love and the fullness of it, and you will be filled with it. Now to him who is able to do, if that wasn't enough, exceedingly, abundantly, listen to this verbiage, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus in all generations, forever and ever. It says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In who? In us. The word for power there is miracle power. It literally says miracle power. Look it up. Look it up in the Greek. According to the miracle power that works in us. Oh, I'm waiting on Jesus. I'm waiting on Jesus to move through me. I'm waiting on Jesus to move through you. He's in you. Miracle power, the inherent power residing in a thing. Listen, due to its nature. Listen, it says you have been given a new nature. You have been given, all things have become new. You have traded your nature for the nature of Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, by the way. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the Christ. And when he says Christ, and it says Christ has moved on the inside of you, the anointed one has moved on the inside of you. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. It's not his last name. All the fullness of God, miracle power, inherent power residing in a thing due to its nature. If that wasn't enough, listen to 2 Peter 1 through 4. says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly, again, great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You have been given the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers means partners, associates, companions. Divine nature means the divine Godhead, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father. That's literally what divine nature is. Look it up in the Greek. It's the divine Godhead, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the Father. There is no separation. This is the rule of religion. That's why religion kills people. Because religion teaches you that you are somehow separate, that God is way up there, you are down here, and you are barely surviving. That's not the way this works. Paul said, or David said, I go to the highest point, and here he is. And I go to the lowest depth, and he's still there. And you say, what is the door for this to happen to me? You say, Jesus, I surrender. And you know what? You can't even do that. The Holy Spirit has to unveil or reveal Jesus to you. You can't somehow have a dead nature and resurrect yourself. He is the one that resurrected you even when you were dead in your sins. This is the effortlessness of this grace. It is so all about him that there's no room for stress and anxiety and fear, because it is all about him. That's why religion will keep you in bondage. Religion will keep you in chains. Religion will tie you down, because religion will teach you, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and somehow, maybe one day, you'll get to heaven. When the reality is, the prayer was, let heaven come to earth. And guess what? Heaven has come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And now he says, I'm going to turn you into heavenly messengers, and you're going to walk this earth and teach people that heaven is here. Where is the separation? When I die, I go to heaven. Okay. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Get a taste of heaven now. Get healed now. Well, I want to wait. Have it now. I'm waiting on going to glory. Have glory now. All I know is everybody that came to Jesus and wanted healed, he didn't tell any of them, well, you're going to have to wait. Hear what I'm telling you. Oh, blind Bartimaeus. Oh, no. See, you got to wait to go to heaven, Bartimaeus, to get healed. The woman is sick for years and years and years, goes up and touches the hem of his garment, and he turns around and goes, why are you touching me? You got to go to heaven to get healed. No, you don't! And I understand that heaven is a whole nother realm, and that we're going to have glorified bodies, and all this awesome stuff is going to happen. But I'm under this impression that Jesus wants to invade this earth, and he wants a new heaven and a new earth. He wants a new heaven and a new earth. Blasphemy. That's what they told Jesus. Every religious person that came next to Jesus said, you're a blasphemer. Why? Because you're destroying our structure and our traditions. Well, so what? Listen, do you know the way Jesus talked to these people? They were just the highest of religious people. And he would come up to them and he said, you're full of snakes. You're full of dead men's bones. That's how he would talk to them. Going into the sanctuary, flipping over tables. See, we don't want to know this side of Jesus. Again, we like that Jesus in the picture holding the lamb and flowing blonde hair, and he's super nice. Listen, when the first scroll is open, which I don't know, it might have already been open, it says he is coming on a white horse as conqueror. Conqueror. I'm looking at some of you, and some of you are like, I don't know about all this. Colossians, if that wasn't enough, Colossians 2, 9 through 10 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is going to blow your mind if you can hold on to this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Listen, this is what the Bible says. This is not what I'm saying. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the divine nature, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. The head of all principality means there is no one higher, the name above all names. Power is the word authority. And listen to this, if that wasn't enough, you are complete in him to fill to the top, full measure, fill to the brim. Aren't you glad that out of, I don't know how many people are here today, but he is not coming and he said, you know, I'm going to give you 50% of Jesus, and here I'm going to give you 20%, and over here I'm going to give you 10. He gave his all on the cross that the all of him can dwell in you. This is the great awakening. Great awakening. What does that mean? That means people wake up to the fact of who they are and who Jesus created them to be and stop listening to the lies of the devil. They stop listening to the lie of Satan and they start listening to Jesus. Oh boy. Oh boy. 1 John 3:1-2, if this wasn't enough. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. You know, the Bible says that you are God's offspring. What does that mean? That this river, you are an offspring of him? I have a question for you. If there's an offspring of the river, with the offspring, did it somehow change its nature? No, it did not change its nature. This river of God, this everlasting fountain, we are offshoots of him, and he has created us in this place in such a way that we have become the body of Christ. Some of you are his eyes and his ears and his feet and his mouth, but here is the body of Christ, him being the head. See, the angel has come to stir the waters today. Angelic hosts are looking in and they are saying, what is going on at Abundant Life Fellowship? Do you know that angels are interested? Aren't you interested? Yeah, I know you are. Angels of God all over this property. Myriads of angels all over this property. Well, that's too much. Jesus is too much. That was enough. That we should be called children of God, offspring of God. Just, we look just like our daddy. I know you look in the mirror in the morning and you go, I do not look like Jesus. But if you were to unzip your earth suit, you'd realize that the brilliancy of Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. And that brilliancy is the thing that's going to pull you up towards heaven. You have his nature. You have his spirit. What does that mean? That means when you actually die, if you actually die, that spirit, that resurrected power is going to take you up to where he's at. And you want to talk about the reality of there being no separation when that happens to you and you realize that you are in him and he's in you and the Father's in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father and you're in Jesus and he's, there's no mixtures here. It is 1,000% God. Come on, man. Some of y'all, you're looking at me like, at least tell me amen or something. If it's too much for us, it's probably Jesus. Well, that's just a little bit too much. It's probably Jesus. This Jesus went up to a tomb with a dead man that was dead for 4 days that stunk. And he said, roll away the stone. And Lazarus came out of the tomb and walked out. You tell me that's not a little bit too much? He's a too much God. He's an over the top God. He's not a little dabble do you God. He's like, I'm going to come on the inside of you and I'm going to overflow out of the top of your head and I'm going to blow your mind. For what, but I'm a little bit weak. That's when he's strong. Well, I don't like being weak. Too bad. When you're weak and the strength of Jesus Christ moves through you, guess what? He has the preeminence. Well, they are out of their minds. Yep, and we entered the mind of Christ, where there is no limits and no boundaries. Therefore, if that wasn't enough, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now, later on, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, has he not been revealed yet? He revealed himself when he walked the earth, and he died and was resurrected, and he said, guess what? I'm the one they prophesied over. Guess what? He's been revealed. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The sooner you see him as he is, the more you understand that you're just like him. Well, I'm just powerless. No, you are not. Because of this Alpha, because of him, because he's the A and he has the preeminence, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. The sooner that we see him as he is, the sooner this thing can blow up and we can get the heck out of here. Listen, if you don't wake up every morning and are just like, you know what, I want to get the heck out of here, I'm not sure about you, man. Because you don't know heaven then. Because if you knew heaven, you'd be like, what time is it? 12:02? Jesus, can it be 12:03? Please. Well, I want to stay here. Are you kidding me? You don't know heaven. Oh, boy. Yep. I got two more things and then we're done. 2 Corinthians 3:12-18. I won't say it this time. Oh yeah, well, if that wasn't enough. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Why is that person using great boldness of speech? Because we have such a hope. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, that same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. No separation. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into 50% of the image. The same image. Do you realize that Jesus restored the image? What happened in the garden? It says Adam and Eve were made in the likeness or the image of God. And all chaos broke forth because sin entered the world. And Jesus came forth to restore the image. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, moving from one form to another into the same image, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Lastly, First Corinthians 15:46 says this: however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, speaking of Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It literally talks about Adam as being the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam. The first man was of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Isn't it interesting that God's plan was always to meet heaven and earth, and when Jesus moved on the inside of you, with his spirit, he did it. Well, I'm just this old dusty person made out of the earth, but Jesus has moved into your earth, and your earth has been made new. See, heaven has moved on the inside of you. The only reason that you're going to go to heaven is because heaven has already entered. Heaven is going to pull you to itself. Y'all can stand. And I want to encourage, you know, this message is called Through the Hands. And I want to encourage you today that if you need whatever it is, if it's healing, whatever it is, I mean, you might as well lay hands on yourself at this point. Why don't you just do that? Why don't you just lay your hand on whatever you need? Is it your head? Lay it on your head. Is it your heart? What do you have? What issues do you have? Lay your hands on yourself, for goodness sakes. Jesus is on the inside of you. Is Jesus laying his hands on you? Lord, we pray right now for a power encounter. We pray right now for a power encounter. We pray right now for a power encounter. Healings take forth. Signs, miracles, and wonders are here for you. Receive your healing today. Receive your sign. Receive your wonder. Let yourself be the wonder. It's all because of you, Jesus. It's all because of you. It's all because of you. And we will never, ever, ever keep our eyes on ourselves and say that we are something special. We will keep our eyes on you and say, you are the special one. You are the anointed one. You are the first. You have the preeminence. You have it all. You even have all the glory, but you've decided to share it with us. He said it. He told the Father, I want to give him my glory. The Father said, go ahead. And he said, I'll give you my glory too. Not that you should glory in yourself, but the fact that you should glory in me. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. Waves and waves and waves and waves of glory. Waves and waves and waves of outpouring. Fountain of living water that never runs dry, always runs, and it always runs, and it always runs.
So while he was talking, I was thinking about, and I admit that our mind gets in our way, you know? So I challenge you today to take off the old mindset and to take off the human reasoning. Like, we're in such an age where everyone wants to reason everything, but Lord, we take the human reasoning out of it and we ask for your mind. So I just pray, if you're struggling in here and you don't understand why or what is going on, that you surrender that human reasoning to the Father and you ask him for his mind to come and take precedence. As his thoughts are not our thoughts, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts, but we surrender to him, and that as the Holy Spirit groans and gives and reveals the deep things of God through us. So I just encourage you, he's just looking for a willing vessel. And are you willing today? Are you willing? Are you hungry? It's always wanting is a hungry and willing vessel to surrender to him and us to lay down the human reasoning in our minds.
Lord, we pray even right now that you take us up higher. There's a place in heaven for you. There's a place in heaven. You're seated with heavenly places. And in that seat, you will look down on your issues and your problems, and you will see how small they really are to God. I know that sometimes these things look like mountains, but when he takes you up higher and you ascend with him, you'll look down and say, oh, that's just a molehill. Oh, that's just a little rock. I thought it was this huge mountain, but it's just a little rock. Let him take you up higher. You say, how does that happen? Worship and praise him and love him. Surrender to him. Open yourself up to him. Let him take you higher. Don't get stuck down in here in this muck and this mire and this dirt like the sun in the pig pen. But come up higher. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. If you're in here today and you haven't accepted him, I pray that right now that you would run to the Father. Run to the Father. The prayer people want to come up. And again, I encourage you today, after this word has been put forth, and it creates an atmosphere and it creates a fertile ground for things to happen. In this atmosphere, things happen. I just pray through the laying on of hands even today, from a toucher, from a brother or sister, or your own hand, that you have the revelation that he can move. Let your faith meet his faith. It's not even your faith, it's his faith. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.